packed up in boxes, Birmingham Library is ready to move to the brand new state-of-the-art building on Broad Street. You really can't miss it. It's that one, the one that stands out. So what can we expect from the new library and how will our communities engage? Well, Izzy Mohammed is the Audience Engagement Officer from Birmingham Libraries and joins us in the studio. Izzy, it's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Firstly, tell us a bit more about your role within the library itself. What do you do?
Well, I do a lot of outreach work. We work with community groups to do projects that they may be interested in, covering topics that obviously matter to people. It could be local geography, it could be their cultural roots, could be a whole different variety of things. And so it's up to us to try and empower groups to be able to do that.
Mm. Libraries have evolved over the years, haven't they? They have played lots of different roles. Where do you see the role of the community library going from here?
It's a really good question. The Library of Birmingham will still fulfil quite a lot of the kind of roles that we expect a library to fulfil. But as we enter what is quite a technological digital age, there are a lot of other things that are taking place that we'll be kind of making available. So, for example, a lot of our collections are available digitally. So if you go to the website, a lot of these collections will soon be visible through that. So things that people may have wanted to see but haven't been available in the past. So that's one way. I mean, there are a lot of facilities on site as well. So we have a purpose-built studio theatre. We have our own large gallery space. We have a recording studio. So these are things that are now being built into, well, that have been built into the new library.
Yeah, and this is the library moving with the times, isn't it? You talk about, you know, digitizing so much material. Let's be honest, up and down the country, libraries have been facing all kinds of challenges. Some have even been closed down. There has been a fight, hasn't there, to keep libraries open, keep them, you know, within the communities.
You're right, there has been. I think the Library of Birmingham sort of puts libraries back on the map again. And I think we can begin a new kind of phase almost, drawing attention to the library, their value, their worth in the modern age. And I think we can work with our local communities in that way.
Mm. And in terms of engaging with South Asian communities, is there anything in particular that you're doing to reach out to South Asian users of your library?
Well, that's a good question there too. There's a couple of ways of looking at this, or rather two kind of ways in which we work. One of those is to enable groups, and in this case South Asian communities, to access our collections and use them. And the other is to work with them, to empower them so they can help us develop our services and our collections. So, for example, right now we're working with one project, for example, that would be on the South Asian and Muslim contribution to the First World War. We're working with another project, which is an intergenerational project about South Asian men, called the Forefathers Project, and that looks at the historical sort of relationships between fathers and sons and grandfathers through migration and settling in Birmingham.
Well, I tell you what, I have, funny enough, a clip from the project called Forefathers. I'm going to play this clip right now, and this will be very interesting to see how the project actually works in practice. Let's have a listen to this.
My background is I was born and raised in Handsworth. I was born into a Sikh family. My parents my dad originates from Africa and my mom's from India. I consider myself to be Indian and I follow the Indian culture, but also being in Britain, living in Britain as part of an active society, you have to embrace the British culture as well. The stereotype of Asian families pushing their sons and daughters into certain trades, you know, or certain careers and jobs. He's never kind of told me you have to go out and do this. What he's kind of said is, you know, no matter what you do, as long as you enjoy what you do and you do it with 100%, you know, I have a lot of respect, because when you've had to leave everything you've known and come to a different country, there is no safety net. You know, there's nothing to catch you. You know, although they had a profitable business in Africa, they weren't allowed to bring anything across with them, so they had to start from scratch. And especially my granddad, when he came, you know, we had a large family, so he had to go out and work and support the whole family.
See, that's fascinating. That's a story a lot of people, young and old, will be able to relate to. A lot of people's fathers, mums came over into the country and they had very little in their pockets. They had very little education. They had very little in terms of support when they arrived. So people will be able to understand and engage with that kind of thinking. Tell us a bit more about Forefathers and the project itself.
Well, the Forefathers Project is being led by an organisation called True Form Community Interest Company and a friend and colleague of mine, Faisal Hussain. And he came over to meet us at the library and discuss what his interests were and that he wanted to undertake a project looking at the kind of the migration and settlement of the community, but also particularly from the angle of, you know, men, because quite often their experiences have been forgotten or not explored enough in terms of their relationships and so on. Mm. And his own personal experiences, along with a number of other of his friends and colleagues, brought him to that idea that we haven't recorded these intergenerational relationships. What's been passed down? What are the experiences that we need to be celebrating? And I think this project will do that very well.
Mm. And I suppose what's really fascinating is that the library user can become a storyteller effectively. And these stories are then left for future generations to enjoy almost forever, really.
Exactly, really well put. Library users can be involved in the creation of material and information. In fact, their very own stories can eventually come into the archive. You know, what's really interesting is that when we take something into the archive officially, when we accession something, that, you know, we can't throw that away. So you can imagine the story that's being collected just there, for example, that will be there in the archive in 100 years, 200 years. The oldest item that we have in the archive is about 840 years old.
Yeah.
So can you imagine that story still being there in 840 years' time?
Wow. See, that's quite fascinating. And also we have to remind ourselves we're living in an age right now, aren't we, where, you know, we are recording and taking pictures more than ever before. You know, nobody will be able to say that, oh, we don't know what happened in 2013 or even, you know, 20 years from you know, if you go backwards from now. We are recording so much. Do you think there'll come a point where we will have too much information, that there will be too much to look back at, and therefore we'll say, oh, can't be bothered with that because there's way too much, you know, stored all those years ago?
Well, it's a really interesting point. We might have to go down the road of quantum computing here, but you know, yes, that we are collecting information all the time, and in fact, we're getting to a point now where we have to think about what we keep and what we throw away.
Yeah, this was the point I was making. Does there come a point where you say, right, okay, we've got lots of duplicates of this story or that story, and therefore we can't keep everything on file, otherwise we will run out of storage space?
It's a really good point. We're probably at that stage a few years ago, you know, where you're having to make those kind of judgments. And but related to the stories that we're collecting here, you know, the information, there's lots of information today, but 50 years ago there wasn't. And the only thing that we have are the stories that we've just heard. So yeah, it's important to do that.
And if people do want to come along and they do want to record their family stories or whatever story that they want to share, is there a special procedure for that?
Not as such, but we work with groups. I mean, we do a lot of training and skills-based work. So if people are interested in recording stories, then we're happy to talk to them and provide them the skills they need so they can go out and do that, provide them the skills they need so they can explore archive collections and records to see if they can find out more about their family histories.
Okay. Now, at the very beginning of our conversation, I said all the books are in boxes at the moment, ready to be taken to the new state-of-the-art building. I mean, that building is magnificent, by the way, on Broad Street. Moving is always a difficult thing. Yeah. How difficult is it proving to be to get everything from one place into another place and then putting it in the right order?
There are some very highly skilled people on board on this, and there's an immense amount of planning that's gone in, and I've got some very good colleagues who are on the case with that. And I can tell you, it is a big task, but they're doing it pretty well.
Wonderful. And is an opening date?
Yes, there is. 3rd of September. It'll be like, yeah, 3rd of September.
That's just around the corner, really, isn't it?
It's not far away now.
All right, listen, Izzy, it's been good talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Audience Engagement Officer from Birmingham Library, Izzy Mohammed, talking to us there.